This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
So this is Jason Kurtman, operator of thebigbasin.com, internet radio, podcast, bloggers, and all of that. And today we are debuting a brand new show, Those Who Show Up Decide, with my buddy Chez Sanchez. He's been around a long time, and he's going to tell us about that. Paul, Mr. Chez, how are you doing today?
I am conscious and breathing. I've got a coffee. I got dressed. I'm wearing my tie. I shaved. So how do I look for the show?
You look fantastic. You have a face for radio.
As well do you.
Yes, I do. I've been told that many, many times. So are you excited about this endeavor?
I am. I am. I had a radio show a couple years ago on a good friend's radio station, which I had to drop off. We'll talk about that later. But I absolutely enjoy this is going to be hard for listeners that actually know me to believe. I kind of have to break out of my shell a little bit, but I do like talking. I know that's a shocker for most of my friends out there, but yes, I do like rambling, and especially if I'm talking about politics. So I'm really excited about this show and the opportunity I'm going to have to hopefully reach some people and get them to start thinking about what's going on in our world.
Well, what we're going to do with the program, Chez, we're going to create a podcast out of the live program. But next week you'll be doing pre-recorded shows for a while until we get set up and get the bugs worked out, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. This one, of course, is live, but as we go, I'm going to do pre-recordeds. I'll probably record them Thursday or Friday night for the Saturday broadcast.
Sure.
So I've got all the news of the week that has occurred. But then the idea is to eventually get to a live show and maybe even set up something where folks can call in at any point during the show and tell me what a knucklehead I am and argue with me about something.
Sure, sure.
As long as we keep it civil, I'm all about that.
Yeah.
I enjoy that kind of thing.
We know how civil you are.
you know, that's the funny thing, is that on my own Facebook page, which I'm sure we'll hit at some point, I actually require civility. I don't require you to agree with me. I require you to be civil and on point and answer questions. Now, if all you're going to do is yell at me, you're wasting our time.
Right.
That's not going to do anything. So.
But in the meantime, this program that we are doing right now, we're recording it as we speak. We'll have it available as a podcast on demand at thebigbasin.com. It'll also be rebroadcast on this stream periodically throughout the week. I haven't worked out a schedule for that, but we'll do that as well. So all good stuff, right, Chez?
Absolutely. And before I forget, I really want to thank you personally, Jason, for this opportunity. I think that right now they're, you know, like my mom, I think, is listening right now. But other than that, I hope to eventually get a larger audience, certainly here in the Tularosa Basin, because that's what my main focus is. And I really care about where I live, and I just want our elected officials to do the right thing.
Sure.
To do things in the open, honestly, and transparently. Not necessarily the way I want them to be done, but at least legitimately. And so that's where my primary focus is going to be, is right here in the city of Alamogordo, and then we're going to go wide from there. But I just really wanted to thank you for the opportunity to do this, and I hope over time it'll be something that people will learn things from and get them moving.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, the reason I came up with this idea for thebigbasin.com as an avenue, I recently licensed a business here in the city of Alamogordo, Basin Media, and I'm trying to come up with different venues for advertisers and different forms of entertainment as well for our local community, not only entertainment, but information as well. And so that's how I came up with the idea for thebigbasin.com, is just a place where anybody can podcast, blog, stream, whatever they want to do. And you of course were the first person that came to mind. you were as
no
a contributor.
Idea why.
as a contributor.
No idea why.
Well, you're always everywhere when it comes to the important events here in town. You're opinionated, but who isn't? And you've always got something wise, insightful to say, and you're always ready. So I always thought of you as a great contributor for a project like this. I got to say, the project was kind of inspired by a friend of mine in Dallas, Texas, who runs the Leading Edge Radio Network, who started out very small, much like we are. He did it for his local community, news and politics and just basic talk. And now he's on an international level. They're getting ready to go public. They are about to be the first internet radio station to actually be on the New York Stock Exchange.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very big. So, you know, I don't have dreams of aspirations of being that big. I just want to be involved in the community, much like you are, but everybody has their own ways that they can be involved. So,
Actually, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I got to tell you, that last sentence that you said is a huge part of my philosophy. And, of course, we're going to talk about more of, you know, what my agenda and everything is here in a minute. But when I use the word everybody can get involved, it's not just politics. Some people just couldn't sure. give a rat's butt about politics, and that's fine. However... you can help out at your church, mow the grass once a month, okay? You can help out a soup kitchen. You can be a volunteer yep. firefighter. There are so many opportunities that can, you know, in anyone's community that you can do something. And, you know, it could be an hour a month all the way up to, you know, huge amounts of effort. You know, there are people like myself that are always looking for the next thing. And in fact, I've got to trim back. I've got to be careful what I say yes to, because I overload myself constantly and then I burn out and I got to drop off for a minute. But really getting involved in humanity is, you know, just your community and just trying to help out in some way, give something to somebody else.
You're talking about my favorite philosophy, which is what I call bringing back the nickel soda pop.
Amen.
Working, you know, that's the way it used to be all the time. People didn't think twice about doing stuff like that. But now
you
it's like...
in trouble all the time.
Now it's like, well, maybe after I've watched everything on Netflix that there is to watch, maybe then I'll go out and help, you know. So let's talk about you for a minute, Chez.
my absolutely favorite subject.
I don't even know this. Where are you originally from?
Well, theoretically, I'm from New York. I was actually born in New York City, and then I lived most of my life in Westchester County, which is the suburbs of New York, in Yonkers and Larchmont. Went to Mamaroneck High School. About halfway through high school, I was being a teenager, and so Mom and I were getting along, let's just say, really well, which is why I moved out to L.A., and moved in with my dad out in Los Angeles.
Well, you went from California. New York to L.A.?
Yes.
With no aspirations of Hollywood?
None. I was being a teenager. You know, that was my thing. Where could I go? And so the deal is that, you know, you've heard of course, bipolar. Well, you know, I'm what's called bi-coastal. Okay?
Okay.
And mind you, it's about the same thing. All right, I'm just letting you know. Either way, I spent a couple of years out in L.A., graduating, went back to New York for a while. Mom and I had rectified most of our issues. And then I went into the, what do you call that, Boy Scouts? No, Air Force, that was it. So, and I spent a little time there in the Air Force.
How much is a little time?
Oh, about 26 years.
That's
if you don't get
time,
it right after 26, you got to go. They throw you out.
Yeah, I got to tell you, there was a time when I thought 26 years was a lot of time. I don't think that's so anymore.
Yeah, you know, I've been out since 2009, and so it's kind of amazing to me I've been out this long, and that 26 years went by in about 26 seconds.
Right.
You know, it was quick. And yes, I would go back in a heartbeat. Absolutely a heartbeat.
What was your specialty in the service? What did you do?
Well, theoretically, when I came in, I was an aircraft electrician. That's what I was trained as. And I started working at, I actually had put in for all the bases in California and a couple of bases in New York. And I ended up in Oklahoma City. In the Air Force's great wisdom, they decided to find the most central center spot on the map. And that's where they sent me. And so I went to Tinker and I was on the E3 A's and B's, which is the AWACS aircraft.
I remember those.
Flying control tower control.
They had that big dish on the top, right?
That's the one. Big cookie. Black and white cookie up there.
Big cookie.
And anyway, so I worked those for about 3 years and was TDY all the time, traveling all over the world. Went to Saudi a couple of times, you know, different places like that. Loved every minute of it, worked my butt off, and it was great. Well, then after that, I got PCS to Edwards Air Force Base in California, which, of course, made me really happy because I wanted to be in California.
Right.
And I ended up being just a couple hours from where my sisters were living at the time. They were going to high school. And so I ended up at Edwards, and I was at Edwards on the B-1 bomber test team. This was right as the B-1 bomber was actually going operational. And so I was there, and but a test team has a much, much slower pace than an active unit. With AWACS, I was gone all the time. I was either coming from someplace or going to someplace at any given month or even week sometimes. The test team, we'd fly, if we were lucky, once a week. But that's because they were prepping the aircraft for the next test to see how would the aircraft react in this environment, that environment. Let's put a new system on there to see what it'll do, you know, that kind of jazz.
Okay.
And so that slowed my life down quite a bit, which I didn't like, and I ended up going to what's called NCO, Sergeant Leadership School, which is the military holds these schools periodically throughout your career, because people in the military tend to get focused on their job, and they sometimes forget they're in the military. So this is kind of what we call in the Air Force a re-blueing into your military. And so I went there, came back, and I was completely rebooted, motivated, and went straight down to my local honor guard, the Edwards Air Force Base Blue Eagles Honor Guard. Those are the guys that march in parades, hold the flags, do military funerals, that type of stuff. And let's see, within 2 weeks of joining, and I'd never, other than basic training, I'd never marched before. Within 2 weeks, I was one of the flight sergeants. Within 2 months, I was the head trainer for the whole team.
Oh, wow.
And that bug bit me, and I've been infected with drill, ceremony, flag protocol, all that jazz since 87. So, I mean, we're on 29 years of this now, and I still haven't gotten over that particular virus. So I absolutely love that type of stuff. Did a few years on the Blue Eagles while I was also on that. The honor guard is additional duty.
Right.
So you do that for a while. And then after that, I went to an even more relaxed environment. I went down to Lackland Air Force Base, which is Air Force basic training. And I put on one of them funky Smokey the Bear hats. And I was what you call in the Air Force an MTI, which is a drill sergeant in the regular vernacular. And I yelled at people for about about 3 years down there. In fact, one of the people I think listening to us right now, Terry Jo, she probably just had a heart attack that I mentioned her name. She was one of my troops way back in the day, and she found me on Facebook, about a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that, and she's like, hey, are you the Sergeant Sanchez from back in when? And I'm like, yeah, and she said something really, really nice and touching, which other airmen have also said, which is basically that I had a huge influence on the way she thinks about doing things, getting involved, that type of stuff. And, you know, that I could have an influence on a person's life like that really meant a lot to me.
Right.
So I did 3 years of that. Then I got assigned back to Edwards, where I worked a bunch of different test teams and aircraft. And during that time, the Blue Eagles Honor Guard needed some help because they had a lot of issues at that point, mainly due to the fact that a lot of bases in California were closing down due to the BRAC reassignments at the time. So the Edwards team went from a relatively small area in California to an area that was from above Bakersfield in a place called Porterville all the way down to San Diego. which is like the bottom third of California.
Right.
And that's a huge retiree community. It's got three national cemeteries in it. We went from doing like maybe two or three funerals a month in the area we had to upwards of, let's see, I think we averaged five a day. And in fact, there was one day when I was in charge of that we actually did 17 funerals across that area. I had teams everywhere in Southern California, 17 funerals in one day. That was the pinnacle. Now, as an example, the Honor Guard here on Holloman Air Force Base, which I'll hit in a second, they do 19 to 20-ish a month. Okay, we did 17 in a day. That's how crazy Edwards was. And so,
and those aren't all local, I assume.
Oh, like I said, all the way from Porterville down to San Diego.
Right, okay.
All over the place. So I was the first full-time superintendent. They actually took me out of my career field and, you know, said, you're in charge of the Honor Guard. This is all you do. And so I did that and didn't sleep in the summer of 96 because of that job, like at all. I took naps occasionally.
Right.
But we got the team going and back on track. And then a good friend of mine took it over for me. I went back to aircraft maintenance. And from Edwards, that's right when my daughter Melody was born. And unfortunately, my wife and I were splitting up, and she was getting out of the Air Force and going back to Oklahoma City. And that's where she was from. So I figured with my drill sergeant background, I could go to Wichita Falls, Texas, which is 2 hours south of Oklahoma City, and go to Shepherd Air Force Base and basically be a drill sergeant there. I was accepted, and 6.5 years on Shepherd. Had a great time doing that. Did a lot of different jobs there. And then from Shepherd, I was assigned to Holloman Air Force Base.
Ah, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty.
Now we're
right.
Home. Yeah. So I came here in 2005. Okay. And I was initially assigned to the F-117, what we call E&E, Electro-Environmental Back Shop. So when parts come off the aircraft from the flight line guides, which is what I was traditionally,
right.
They go to the back shop. We try to repair them or send them back to the manufacturer to get them repaired and or replaced. And so I did that for about a year. And then a guy named Colonel, at the time Goldfein, was coming in to take over the base as the wing commander. And he was due his first star. He came as a colonel, and within a couple of months, he got to put on his first star. Well, he goes through the first ceremony as the wing commander, and the honor guard performed, let's just say, less than admirably at that event. So the colonel at the time looked over at the command chief, who her name was Chief McNichols, Marjorie McNichols. And so he looks over at her and he basically says, so how involved are you with the honor guard? And she had just become the command chief at that point. And she said, well, I'm getting there. And he said, yeah, you need to get there. And that's when she called me, essentially, and they did an advertisement base-wide, and I put in my resume, and I was picked as the NCIC of the Steel Talons Honor Guard. Quick note on Chief McNichols, the reason she called me was because when she was Staff Sergeant McNichols, and I was Buck Sergeant Sanchez, she's one of the people that taught me Honor Guard on the Blue Eagles. And so she'd known me for about 15 years and knew that I was probably the right guy. And so I took over the Honor Guard, and that's where I retired, from the Honor Guard in 2009. And I would go back in a heartbeat and do that again.
When you retired, did you have any thoughts at all about going anywhere else in the country?
Some occurred to me, but I had actually just gotten married at the time. Not to say that I've had four ex-wives. sorry. And, of course, I am looking for my fifth ex-wife. I haven't met her yet, but that'll happen sooner or later. Either way, I think women are catching on to me
now.
You are
very optimistic.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to happen. But excuse me. Anyway, I had just gotten married to a really, really nice, beautiful woman who was actually running a large enterprise out on Holloman Air Force Base. So we kind of had it all set right here in Alamogordo. So I stayed here. And, of course, that didn't work out too well. But either way, that was why I stayed here at that point. And I really came to love Alamogordo at that point. My daughter had just come to live with me from her mom, so she was about 10 at the time, and I was raising a daughter, and I didn't want to raise her in a big city. I liked Alamogordo because there's virtually no place I go that I can't go to Walmart at literally 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning without bumping into somebody I know. So my daughter always complains that you know, I have spies everywhere. She's out doing something goofy that somebody will call and report her, which they do, by the way, and I like that.
Yeah, I know so exactly what you mean.
That works out for me just fine.
Okay, well, tell me about your daughter and your family right now.
My daughter, Melody Sanchez, Melody Renee, the song of my heart is what she is. And, you know, she's a beautiful young lady. She just graduated with her GED from NMSUA. And she just got a job at one of the local businesses here. And she actually got that job through a temp agency here in town. And she was supposed to be just there for a week. That didn't quite work out, because within 3 days, the business owner was giving her the keys to the place and all that jazz. And I think he's going to hang on to her. Yeah, well, I guess he, in the last month, he'd gone through 5 other temps.
Yeah.
That basically had little to no work ethic and that kind of stuff. And Melody, being around me, kind of learned work ethic as we went.
Do you bounce a quarter off of her bed?
No, I never did that to her.
Okay.
In fact, I went out of my way to not. Now, she'll tell you I do, but...
You're right.
No, I really did not want to be the drill sergeant at the house.
Okay.
I'd done enough of that, and I wasn't going to expose her to that. My rule is, if I could see her floor, which rarely I can, but if I could see her floor, then I'm pretty okay.
Yeah,
with
let it ride, right?
Yeah, it's just not worth it, you know? So that's Melody, my daughter, but Melody also, a couple years back, had a little baby girl, and her name is Harmony. So Melody and Harmony, if she ever has a boy, we're going to call him Rhythm. Okay.
There you go.
Yep. But either way, Melody and Harmony. Harmony is now 2.5 years old, going on, I think, 28. And she is the most precocious little child, and always smiling, always like seeing Papa Paul, and we just have a blast. We go to the zoo. That's another thing, by the way, I love about Alamogordo. In New York or L.A., you want to take your kid out to go do something. You got to drive an hour in, you know, god-awful traffic, then pay $100 to get into something that you're going to sweat and barely like at all, and then you got to drive an hour to the next thing. I can pick up my granddaughter Harmony, and I can take her down to the toy train depot, hop on a choo-choo train, which for a 2.5-year-old is the bomb.
Yeah.
Okay. Ride around that thing. That cost me a big whopping $5 and like a 5-minute drive with down to the train tracks from our house. And then we got to take a hugely long drive of another 3 minutes to the oldest zoo in the Southwest, our Alamogordo Zoo, which is not huge. It's not exactly the San Diego Zoo, but it is really nice, really well maintained.
It is
very nice exhibits. Yep. And for a 2.5-year-old, it might as well be the San Diego Zoo.
Absolutely.
And that cost me another $5 to get in, you know. So, and if we buy drinks, the whole day cost me $15. I think total of 15 minutes driving, and that's all inclusive. You know, how do you beat that?
That's the thing about Alamogordo. You've mentioned just a few spots. There's the Space Museum. That's one of my favorite places.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the Pistachio Farms.
Pistachio Farms. And if you really want to travel, you can go, what, about 20 minutes, 15 minutes outside the city, and you're at White Sands National Monument.
Yeah. Yep.
And wow. Let me tell you a 1-minute story about that. Mel comes out here. She was visiting me for a couple of years before she actually moved out here. And so the first time she comes out here, I hadn't been out to White Sands. I was like, it's a bunch of sand, big whoop. You know, I'm like, I'm sure it's nice, but wasn't really the thing I wanted to go to. Well, I get my 7-year-old daughter out, and I'm like, well, let's go to White Sands and kind of see what that's about. So we get out there. I'm figuring we're going to be out there for an hour, hour and a half, you know, something like that. Well, they have out there, they had just started testing it out, I'm sure they still have it, a junior ranger program.
I've heard about that.
Where they give you a book of things to do. okay?
Right.
Little puzzles and stuff. And one of them is a bingo kind of deal, okay, where you have to go see something. You have to find animal tracks. You have to find a certain kind of shrub or something. And so Melody and I took that and started playing it. I'm telling you, it was we were there till sunset. They were throwing us out. Okay, they were like, you're done, go. You know, like 6-7 hours we were out there. And I had as much of a blast as she did. It was awesome. So that radically changed. And that goes a shout out to my good friend Kathleen Denton, who was a ranger out there at the time and now works at, I can't remember the park's name, but it's down in El Paso.
Okay.
And I think it's the only joint Mexican-American national park. There's a park down there that actually goes across the border. And that's where Kathleen's working now down there. But anyway, it was just an awesome experience. So Alamogordo is not just a truck stop. It's not a, in fact, I've been coming up with a new tagline to get people to go to Alamogordo.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of at where, you know, Alamogordo, not just a truck stop, it's a destination, you know, something like that. So I'm kind of working on that idea, because we really are a destination.
Yeah, I don't know if I told you or not, but I do the nationally syndicated show, and I'm all over the country on different AM, FM, and internet stations. And at the end of every show, I promote tourism in southern New Mexico, and my tagline is, when you leave, you'll leave here wishing you lived here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, a New Yorker and L.A. Californian came to the middle of New Mexico or south central New Mexico and never left.
Yeah,
I'm good. You know, I'm done.
So,
you know,
speaking of being done, there is something you're not done at. Where do you work at now, Chez? What do you do?
I work hard at retirement. Okay, that's my. No, I wish I did. In fact, my daughter would love if I did. I've had a couple of jobs and gotten either fired or quit all of those.
Right.
When you're a mass sergeant, you don't take orders well. You kind of give them at that point. And so me working for other people generally doesn't work out.
Okay.
But I have a huge hobby. I have a wood shop, and I make a lot of things for different friends. I make mainly flag cases and military retirement shadow boxes, but I've actually made furniture and just huge projects. And so my wood shop is one of my passions, and then we have politics. And I also do charity. I do a lot of charity stuff, volunteer work around mainly with veteran and police and firefighter related stuff. I actually live directly behind the police station and the firehouse here in Alamogordo, so I have the best security in Alamogordo.
Do you get woken up during all hours of the night by sirens? Living that close?
let me tell you something. I don't, because here's the deal. Those guys don't light them up coming out of the barn, okay, if they don't have to. I'll hear them racing by because they need to get someplace,
right.
But they generally don't light them up and hit the sirens until they're out of the immediate area. Otherwise, we would do that, but it's like a conscious thing.
Well,
so I also know when something really bad has happened in town because they do light them up coming out of the barn.
And speaking as
and
a retired
then I'm
cop,
like, whoa.
I know that.
Yeah, I
absolutely understand.
Oh, yeah, when they light them up coming out of the barn, then, you know, you'll see 2-3 fire trucks rolling. You'll see 4-5... police officer cars, you know, patrol cars rolling, and I'm like, and I literally, my daughter and I just look up and we say an instantaneous prayer, both for our first responders as well as whoever they're responding to.
Yeah,
hoping for the best. But yeah, I get my house is patrolled 24/7, so I'm pretty happy with that.
There you go.
You know?
You mentioned politics a while ago. What party do you affiliate with most?
Politics? I don't do politics. What are you talking about? No, politics, I am a registered Republican, which makes me crazy nowadays, but the Democrats make me more crazy. So, you know, it's a coin flip nowadays.
Yeah.
I took a test a while back. There's actually a website called iSideWith.com.
I'll have to try
where
that.
If you're not sure where you fit into the big picture, it's a bipartisan website, or, you know, multiple partisan website, and you can go out there and answer a survey. If you do the short survey, it's about 15 minutes. If you do the additional questions, it'll get out to about 30 But it really nails you down on how you feel on various issues. And right. you'll figure out where you side. You know, you think you side with Ted Cruz, and suddenly you discover you're more of a John Kasich guy, or even a Democrat, depending on your views. My daughter was very surprised to find out that she was mainly a Democrat because she's been raised a Republican, believes in Republican values, but for some of her views are definitely liberal and Democratic, and I understand that, and I respect it. So, so by the book, I'm sort of a libertarian slash conservative, but I'm also a realist, and if I want to be part of electing somebody or making a point of not electing somebody, which is what I'm doing this year, I'm a Republican by the book there. So those are my personal politics. But the important thing for me, as we'll talk about in a second, is what my real focus is. It's not about what party you are in. So we'll hit that when we talk in a minute about why I got into what I am doing.
Well, didn't you run for mayor in a few years back, 2013-14?
Yeah, I got good and annoyed at, I actually started doing the Those Who Show Facebook page back at, I think it was 2012, mainly because the election that year was making me crazy and I just wanted to open my mouth and rant. And I had started going to city commission meetings, and I went to the first one just to see what it was like, because it had been the first municipal election that I'd voted in, because, you know, as a military guy, you're always absentee voting, right. And, you know, I never really paid attention to local politics back home. Well, now I live here, so I'm like, okay, I need to pay attention. So I started doing that, and so I started going to commission meetings and was appalled by the shenanigans that were going on there. And you've read my stuff for a few years now. Our city commission is a nonstop gift that keeps on giving. That's just the best. It really is. So initially I was in the audience, and then I start blogging on them, and next thing I know I'm webcasting them and what they do. And then the 2012 election came up, and our mayor at the time was running, and our mayor, our former mayor at the time, our current mayor, right. And it's really complicated, and it'll be another 30, 45 minutes to explain that mess. But with the people that were running, those were the people that made me the most crazy. Now, I knew I had next to no chance of winning that election. Complicated. However, as a small-time Facebook blogger, I also felt that I would have limited input on the election. And if you are one of the candidates, then you have to be covered. You get to go to the debates and actually run your mouth. And so I wanted to be on the stage, and when they said something I knew was incorrect, patently untrue, whatever the case may be, I wanted to be there mainly to call them on it.
Right.
And so I got my butt whipped in that election. Our former mayor, Susie Galea, she pulled, I don't know, 1,675 or so votes. I pulled a measly 474, I think it was. So it was Susie, then Robert Rentschler, then me, then Joe Ferguson. But I know I made a lot of points. And in fact, I'll tell you that many people that supported Susie in that election subsequently said, wow, Chez, you were right about this, that, and the other in the following years, and have since come round to some of the ways that I think, and in fact have asked why I didn't run this year in the mayor's election. There was too crowded a field, and I'd had enough fun in 2012. I think that's the best way to put it.
Do you have any future plans for running for office, or any future plans? What are your future plans?
Well, right now I'm doing this. The next municipal election is in 2006. 18, and people have mentioned that I should run for mayor. Then it's complicated why there's a mayor's election now every 2 years. It's a complicated story as to it was a resignation and, you know, all this kind of stuff, special election. Bottom line is the next election in 2018 will be for the 4-year mayor seat. And there's been talk about me running for that. Right now, if I had to make the decision today, the answer would be not a chance. I had plenty of fun, as I said, in 2012. But I also never say never. So, you know, right now I'm going to keep an eye on what the commission's doing. And at that point, if Mayor Boss, the way he's conducting himself now, our new mayor, if he is going to run in 2018, I will not. I will support him. I didn't support him in this past election, but I think he's doing one heck of a job. I don't always agree with him, but if you're doing a solid job and you're doing it for the right reasons, I'm good with that. And so that's why I would support him in that election. But most of the scuttlebutt says that he will probably retire at that point, which then leaves it to be an open field. At that point, I'll look to see if anybody else is talking about running. And if there's somebody else I respect that's doing it, I don't see any reason to be stepping on people I respect. I would rather support them.
Speaking of which, I got a question for you. I'm going to jump from the itinerary for just a second, and you can you can answer this, or you can save it for a later program. But you you recently came out on Facebook in support of one of the candidates for a county commissioner.
Yes, I did.
You want to expand on that?
Well, you know, here's the good thing about being a Facebook blogger, and I'll totally own this. I will expand on it in my next show. It'll be focused on this primary election, but I want to give a quick shout out here. There are two elections that I'm really watching in this primary that we've got going on right now. One is the county commission, and the other one is the district attorney's election.
Oh yeah,
There's only a few contested seats in the primary. Most of them are, you know, the person that's running and usually the incumbent. But the county commissioner, you've got Lori Bees, Josh Reardon, and John Sechrest are the candidates for County Commission District 3. Now, I'm in, I think it's District 1, and so my commissioner at the county level is actually Janet White. But that doesn't mean I can't support one of the other districts as well. Josh Reardon has got a lot of experience in history being a commissioner.
Yes.
Being that he was a city commissioner for, I think, about 6 years. And he's actually the individual that started the whole Family Fun Center idea, which has become the fiasco travesty of our town.
There's probably a lot of names
his
for
fault.
It.
That is not his fault. That is many other people's fault. But that's a whole other conversation. But he's got a lot of experience. His uncle, Ronnie Reardon, is actually the current commissioner in that seat.
Right.
So Josh is trying to fill his uncle's chair there. Then you've got John Sechrest, who is a business owner throughout Otero County, has never run for public office, has some ideas on different subjects. And then you have Lori Bees. Well, Lori is the one I am supporting. Lori, for the last more than a year, has gone to every city and every county commission meeting. She writes reports. She writes summaries on them. She researches issues. Josh hasn't been a commissioner for, I think, 2 years now. Jenny Turnbull beat him in the 2014 election that I didn't win. And Josh has only gone to a few meetings in between here and there. Lori has consistently stepped up and done her thing. She's shown up. And when it comes to the issues, the facts, clarity of thought, the research, all of that stuff, Lori, I think, is without question the best choice. So, and you know, while I attempt to be a journalist to make sure I get the facts out, being that I don't write for a newspaper or, you know, some national level thing, it's just me doing what I want. With that said, I get to, I can endorse somebody if I choose to.
Sure.
So that's
sure.
Lori there. Then you've got the DA's race. That's John Sugg versus David Sabias.
I may just to see how that one turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. John was a DA. He's now in private practice. He's up in Rio Doso. And I think he's going to do really well in Lincoln County, which is part of the 12th district for DA. But so is Otero County. And so he's been working really hard down here to get the word out. And David Sabias, very intelligent man. He was appointed when Diana Martwick resigned a few months ago. So he's actually the acting DA right now. Talked to both of them extensively. I am hugely biased towards John Sugg.
I feel the same way. And I have my reasons for that.
Absolutely.
I really do. I had the opportunity, of course, you know, to moderate the debate.
Which, by the way, I just posted on my YouTube channel, which you can find through my Facebook page. But I just posted the debate, and you did a great job as moderator.
Well, it was the first time I've ever done anything like that. It was a great experience for me. I loved it. I didn't really know. I had met Sugg once before at a Otero County conservative meeting when he was standing in front of me and he ordered banana pudding, which I turned into a great post on Facebook. It was
okay.
It was a take of what it would be like if Donald Trump was ordering pudding. I'll have to give that to you later.
Good God, so, you got to send that to me. I'll put it up on my page.
Okay. So anyway, that was the only time I met him, and I didn't even know he was running for office until he spoke later. And then, of course, I met him at the debate, and which I was really, really disappointed in the Mr. Ceballos's, some of his response. They did seem to be on a personal attack level. To me, I took him that way.
Yeah, I was actually at that. And if you go to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, you'll see that I scored the county commission debate and gave it hands down to Lori because she earned it.
Yeah.
And then I also was scoring the DA's debate. And I was literally, as Ceballos started his, Mr. Ceballos had started his closing, I was typing my closing paragraph of that scoring.
Uh-huh.
And saying, while I'm biased towards John, this was a good debate. Both guys did well. I don't agree with all, you know, what they said, but it was a solid debate. And I'm going to have to score this 51-49 only because of my bias towards John. I was writing that paragraph when Dave started attacking John.
Wow. And did that obviously, I'm assuming, changed the outlook
of
your report?
Delete, backspace. And then I admitted that I was scoring it even right until he attacked John. And then it was a matter of what was John going to do? Was he going to return fire or what? And John didn't return fire. He clarified some of the points to include the fact
Absolutely.
That 2 months earlier, Mr. Ceballos had tried to hire him as an assistant DA with the caveat that he wouldn't run against him in the primaries. So I wonder what that's about. You know, 2 months later, you know, you're the worst person on the world.
Yeah.
But I was going to hire you as my assistant. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's up to the voters to do what they want. I have my reasons. They can be seen on my page. But that is where I go.
Well, you know what they say. Everybody has an opinion. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and that's fine. That's
along
perfect.
With another body part and most of the mistake.
Well, I also had the chance. A lot of people know that Michael Shinneberry went away for a little while on some personal family business. He asked me to fill in on his show, and I believe it was the last show that I did with him. We had John Sugg on. And I really got to know John on a personal level, got to see the humorous side of him. I really enjoyed just sitting down talking to him one-on-one. He does have a passion for what he's doing, and he's doing it. I just think the world of him. Of course, I was kind of tickled. You and I met up at Lowe's this last week to touch base on a few things, and saw you've got a lot of cargo in the back of your truck.
I have a 2 4x4 John Sugg signs. In fact, today I'm about to tack up a Lori B sign in the bed of my pickup truck because I'm trying to be subtle and kind of give people a general idea who I support. But yeah, it's kind of a huge sign, you know, because I want to be clear about what I support. But let me say something to the viewers. I mentioned a minute ago the full debate that you moderated. I have now loaded on my YouTube channel, which again, you can go, if you go to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, scroll down a bunch of stories, you'll see the link to my YouTube channel.
Right.
Where you can see there are 5 segments that got posted, and total credit needs to go to the historic White Sands Theater on New York for hosting the debate, and the Otero County Conservatives for being the sponsors and the people that moderated the debate. All did a fine job, and so it wasn't my debate. I'm just making sure the people can see it. So
sure.
My advice is go watch the debate yourself. And feel free to tell me I'm nuts and you want to vote for John Sechrest or whatever. Okay, good.
I'll talk to you about that later off the show.
Yeah. So, what's the name of my show? Those Who Show Up Decide.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so honestly, my base idea, you know, which let's get into the origin, because we're getting short on time here, but the origin of my whole page was based on I was completely sick of people not engaging. The average turnout in Alamogordo for a municipal election sits at around, I want to say, about 13%.
Wow.
Of registered voters. And I make a lot of effort to study those numbers and who votes in what districts and that kind of stuff. And I'm about to do a huge, huge, it's going to take me at least a year, 25-year study going back to 1990 of demographics. I'm going to overlay the census data in there, the voting data for every precinct from school board to state senator and even national levels here in Otero County. And I'm going to try to see what the voting trends are and overlay a map over the top of it so that I can see, and everybody else can see, is there physical geographic pockets that vote strongly and they vote Democrat or Republican, or
right.
pockets that don't vote at all. There's a lot of assumptions and hypotheses, if that's a word, out there about that.
Now.
I have some assumptions. but the catch is that I want to see what the data says. I have my opinion, but the data is what counts.
And you told me this and is going to take you quite a while to compile.
Oh, that's going to be like a year. I have to go. It's going to be public records requests, the Secretary right. of State's website. It's
this...
going to be just data alone entering it before I can actually write a paper on it.
Sounds more like a book, Chez.
Well, that's the idea.
Okay.
Is to write a short paper slash book. And I'm not a college professor or anything like that. I have no degrees in this. But I am going to have it peer reviewed by a gentleman that has a doctorate that works at the college, that's very into politics. He's actually a Democrat primarily, and knows that I'm a conservative Republican.
Sure.
But I'm going to have him do the peer review on it to make sure my data is solid and my conclusions are appropriately drawn from the data.
Okay.
And that's going to take a year or two for me to get that. My target is to have it in place before we start winding up for the school board elections and anything else that's going to happen in 2018. That's my target. So, I've got to do that along with all my charity work, this radio show, my Facebook page, my wood shop, playing with my granddaughter, which is the most important thing that I do, that kind of stuff. So, I kind of have my plate medium full right now.
Right. The Those Who Show Up Decide, where does that title come from?
Well, credit there has to go to a huge liberal Democrat. West Wing Show, the TV show West Wing, was produced and written primarily by a gentleman named Aaron Sorkin. And that is, I could literally teach a college class on political science by just playing and discussing the West Wing, that TV show, which is about a Democratic president, okay, but it is so spot on with its information. It's amazing. Well, in the first episode, actually the last episode of season one and the first episode of season two, President Bartlet is talking to a group of students, and I believe the line was, your generation, and talking to these college students, has the lowest voting record, and you need to realize if you want to have an impact on your future, I'm paraphrasing his line, you need to show up, because only those who go out and vote and show up are the ones who decide. So it's this kind of paragraph, and I played with that for my initial Facebook page was called Rants and Random Thoughts, and if you look at the web address to it, that's what it says, Rants and Random Thoughts. But I then changed it. I summed it up to Those Who Show Up Decide, which is my point. It's the entire concept. I don't care if you vote Democrat, Republican, or Republican, liberal or libertarian. I just want you to vote. You got to show up. And the people that say, I don't care about politics. Well, let me tell you something. Politics cares about you. And politics affects your day-to-day life and the taxes you have to pay and the laws that are put over you, upon you.
Yeah.
That's what politics is. And when you say, I think that's a bunch of hoo-ha that, the president or some senator did or said this. If you didn't vote either way, if you voted against the guy, you got all the right in the world to gripe about him. You voted for the guy or gal, well, then you could say they're a great guy or, wow, I was wrong, but at least you showed up. You did something.
Yep.
You participated. And if you don't, well, God bless you. You have fun out there, because there are some of us that do care. And my main objective is simply to get information out there. So I always start with facts. These are the facts about subject mm-hmm. A. Then I say, and my crazy opinion is, and that's where I go off on a rant, and you certainly read many of those. Oh. And
it's hard to keep up with you on Facebook.
You know, I write every day. It's a passion of mine.
Yeah.
You know, and it's bound that something, whether it's city level or on Fox News or BBC, I read Fox News, BBC News, and NPR every single day. I check their sites at least 3 to 5 times a day. I would love for somebody to have a contest with me on current events. That would be my idea of fun. So the point though is something sets me off every day. So I'm gonna talk about it. You know, I'm gonna write about it, and that's gonna be where this show is gonna come from.
And you're gonna have some segments on this show too, right?
Absolutely.
Tell me about that.
So, overall idea about what this show and my page is already doing this, which is gonna make this show very easy for me because I'm gonna spend all week doing what I do, which is writing anyway, and then I'll just pick some of my whatever I wrote.
Kind of recap.
And then recap it on the weekends. But I will start my shows with national-level craziness. And that way, friends of mine that are out of state that want to listen to pieces of my show, that'll be of interest to everyone.
Sure.
Yeah. Then I'll narrow it down to state-level stuff. If there are state-level things I want to weigh in on, usually there aren't, but sometimes there are. And then I'm going to get down to the county and the city level, and that's where my passion is right at the city level.
Yeah, that's where we're going to make friends, you know, Chaz.
Oh, absolutely. Let me tell you, the commission adores me. Or not. So, but that's where the news stuff will go. Then I'm also going to be looking for local officials, elected officials, charities, maybe some businesses that are doing interesting things. And I'll try to throw in an interview with some of them. And just like you're interviewing me, figure out what they're up to and make sure that we know what's going on there.
Again, that nickel soda pop concept to find out what's going on with our community and how we can help each other. I love it.
Yep, absolutely. Then we're going to have, and I know we only have a short time left, but we're going to have a few segments that I'm going to try to fit in. The first one is going to be what I'm going to call the most butthurt person of the week.
Is that going to be a local individual?
That could go local, national, international.
I want to nominate somebody.
Oh, yeah. We might even do that. We might even... Who do you think is the most butthurt person of the week? Send message me on Those Who Show Up Decide, you know?
Yeah.
But this week, I'm going to put the most butthurt person of the week to be the Albuquerque and also San Diego protesters.
There you go.
At the Trump rallies. Yeah. And it's not... believe me, I am not a huge Trump supporter, other than I am absolutely a Hillary detractor. So I kind of have to vote for Trump, whether I like it or not. But, you know, when the protesters are out there throwing rocks, flipping police cars, what are you trying to achieve? What are you getting out there? And, you know, I mean, let's have a logical debate on the issue. But all you're doing is being thugs and... I have no patience for that. And so that's the most butthurt person of the week this week. Feel free to message me, and I'm looking forward to your emails on that subject. Then the next one is the dumbest organizational move of the week, which again could go national, city level, whatever. But I'm going to be looking for something some organization somewhere did that I got to say, wow, what were you thinking that day? This week's organizational dumbest move I'm going to give to the United Nations, actually. We'll go international with it. And I'm going to go with the WHO, the World Health Organization, who has just come out with a statement saying that they are not going to move the Rio Olympics this summer from Rio to somewhere else because of the, I can never pronounce it, Zika virus that is rampant in Brazil. The Rio Olympics this year, they're running a checklist on how for it to become the worst Olympics ever. And that's not per the events, it is per the potential disasters that are going to occur there. They have a huge political crisis there. Their crime rates are off the charts. And in a second, I'll hit one of my other segments, which is called How I've Lost Faith in Humanity. And that comes directly from Brazil. And we have a worldwide epidemic or potential worldwide epidemic. I have to give credit to a Facebook game called Plague that I play every once in a while, which is literally about that, creating a virus and seeing how, if you can kill the whole world with this virus, you know, and what different factors go in there. And it's really interesting. This game was made a few years ago, and one of the factors in the game is that will the London, in that case, in the game, will the London Olympics be canceled?
Right.
Excuse me. Yeah. Because of the virus that you create. And in the game, it's not canceled. And it is a contributing factor towards the virus that you've created spreading. Well, right now, here we go with the Zika virus. And I got to say, I think we have an international plague disaster on top of crime. It's just going to be a bad news Olympics. And it's one of those deals where I really hope I'm wrong, but I think it's almost inevitable. So that's the dumbest organizational move of the week. I'm also going to do, not just on my show, but you've agreed that we're going to run short spots from my Honor Guard career called Our Flag.
Yeah.
And that is a patriotic and basically based on the meaning of our flag, how to properly fly our flag, how to destroy it when it's wore out, that kind of stuff. So this week's is really quick. It is about, I don't know if you know this, but it's Memorial Day weekend.
Right.
And on Memorial Day weekend, the thing is that a lot of people confuse what Memorial Day is for. The general concept is we have four national, call them holidays or observances, that are out there that honor different portions of the military and veterans. Okay, so you have Armed Forces Day, which is in June, and that's to honor those still serving, not veterans, the people that are on duty. That's your National Guard, your reserve, and active duty that are out there serving and protecting us. That's Armed Forces Day. Memorial Day, which we're in right now, is to honor those who gave their all. In other words, they were either killed in action or have since passed away. So, as an example, here locally, we just lost Stephen Dubois, who is an awesome, awesome guy, Stephanie Dubois' father, and he was a World War II veteran, and that was he's just a really well-liked guy, and he just passed away, so we'll be thinking about him on Memorial Day. You've got Veterans Day, which is to honor those who served and are still with us, so that's where you thank veterans, definitely, on
right.
Veterans Day. And then you've got POW MIA Day, which is to honor those who have never returned or been accounted for. So each of those has a special and important meaning, and we need to keep an eye on those.
Okay.
Then the last two segments, and I'll hit those real quick, is... my lost faith in humanity and my faith restored. So we've got in my lost faith in humanity comes from Brazil. There was a mass rape video that has been spread on social media down in Brazil where apparently 30 men raped a teenager in Rio de Janeiro. And that's where the Olympics are going to be held,
right.
And put the video of the attack on social media.
Okay.
That's just a whole new level of Armageddon is moments away. And I just won't elaborate on the story. If you're interested in this abysmal event, go look it up on Google. But that's a lost faith in humanity. Restored faith, however, comes right here locally, where a young lady that a couple of years ago, and wow, we're running out of time, really helped out. She was like, oh, I think like 14, 12, 13, something like
yeah.
that. Helped out at Republican headquarters, making a ton of phone calls for the campaign. Set the record for phone calls on her own. And what happened was is she just graduated high school and actually got a full ride scholarship to NMSUA.
Oh, cool.
And to see a young lady just blossom the way Andrea Wilmont has done just blew me away. So she's just an awesome person.
All right.
So that's my lost faith in my restored faith.
So, folks, stay tuned for all of that.
Ton of stuff.
Those who show up to side with Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. He goes by so many different names, it's hard to keep track of which one
those
to call him and when. So, and real quick, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on thebigbasin.com. We're working on some webcasts with the city commission meetings and other events, too. We're working on that. So keep in touch. Stay tuned with all that. I'm going to close with this. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide with Chez Sanchez, and you can tune in next time on thebigbasin.com at the same time, 9 a.m. Mountain Time, and you can send Chez an email at thosewhoshowup@hotmail.com or through his Facebook page at Those Who Show Up Decide. Chez, thank you so much. Look forward to his show next time, and we'll see you all later. Chez, any closing words?
Just been an honor, and as my ad says, I don't want you to think like me. I just want you to think.
Okay, coming up at 10 o'clock, we're going to try to get him on here, Randy Lynch and the Midnight Minute. So stay tuned.